On a normal Sunday, about this time, I would say welcome. And if you're sitting in with us on the World Wide Web, welcome. Thanks for coming. Next thing I would do is ask if anybody's got a testimony they'd like to share in our service. And I'm hoping that out there you have testimonies of seeing God at work. One of the things that I've noticed in the midst of this really big mess is how often I see people on the television saying things like, God bless, and God be with you. And it seems that when things get really bad, all of a sudden it's okay to talk about God again. Although I must confess I haven't heard anybody use the name of Jesus Christ as part of their conversation, which is sad. But anyway, that's my short testimony. We're going to dive into the book of Acts this morning, and we're looking for what life in the Spirit looks like. The Sunday morning is March 29th, last Sunday in the month of March of 2020. I titled our message, Peter's Vision, Take 3. And the text of the message is Acts 10, 22 through 33. So if you want to open your Bibles to Acts 10, and we'll be reading 11 verses out of there. My outline ended up pretty simple. And if you want to get a piece of paper and write it down, I always think it's helpful if you write down some of the things that I thought were important out of the passage. Point number one on your outline would read like, what can we learn from Cornelius? Point number two would be, what can we learn from Peter? And point number three, what can we learn from the Holy Spirit? So, what can we learn from Cornelius, Peter, and from the Holy Spirit? As I watch the events in the world these days, I see three major themes that recur over and over. The first one is the pandemic spread of COVID-19 virus. The second one is the call from governments for social distancing. And the third one is the unpreparedness for an event of this scale. This has become our new normal. So the pandemic spread, the call for social distancing, and the unpreparedness for an event of this scale. Now, a year ago today, if someone would have walked up to you and asked about Wuhan, China, what would you say? What? Where? Why? Wuhan? Really? Wuhan? What are you talking about? But today, you may say, well, we think that's where the COVID-19 virus started and is now spreading throughout the whole world. Wuhan, China is where we suspect what they call COVID virus SARS-CoV-2 originated. And the common belief is that it started in a bat and somehow hopped from the bat to another animal, and they think possibly it was a pangolin, which then passed it on to humans. A pangolin is a scaly anteater, and the important thing about them is they are mammals. Like us humans are mammals. They look much like an armadillo that you would see out in the Southwest. Because bats and pangolins eat insects, the best guess is a bat and a pangolin were eating insects, and the bat transmitted his COVID-19 virus. So in China, these pangolins, their scales are sold in open markets. You can see big piles of them if you look online. And there's a worldwide trade for them. They're used for traditional Chinese home remedies. And we're talking hundreds of tons of these scales off of these little animals are sold all over the world. Anyway, on November 17th of last year, 2019, a 55-year-old human was the first known case of COVID-19. So in China, November 17th of last year, there was a 55-year-old human who was the first one. For my illustration, I'm going to call him Batman because it came from a bat. And I must admit, for the first 2 days that I worked on this, I called it Batwoman. But then I was so upset that the new Batwoman adventure on television promotes her being an alpha lesbian that I said, nah, I got to go back to Batman and Robin. So we'll call him Batman. Batman is the first human to be infected with this respiratory disease. It makes a black-like substance that grows in one's lungs and it slows and restricts one's breath of life. So let me start our illustration with some common known truths that may help us understand what the Holy Spirit is doing. First, in our history, everything starts with one human. Everything we know, everything we see, everything we understand, experience, all started with one person in one place. In the Bible, we could use Adam, the first man to sin, Eve, the first human to be deceived by Satan. We could use Abraham, the start of the ancestral line that our Savior Jesus Christ will be born in. And in today in our today in our scripture, it's Peter and Cornelius. The Holy Spirit has given Peter a vision. The men from Caesarea have arrived at the gate. They're having a conversation with Peter as we open our scriptures for this morning. So I will be reading from the NIV Reader's Version, and I'm going to try to read Acts 10, 22 through 33. The men replied to Peter, "We have come from Cornelius, the Roman commander. He's a good man who worships God. All the Jewish people respect him. A holy angel told him to invite you to his house. Cornelius wants to hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guest. The next day, Peter went with the three men. Some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, they arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them, and he had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him. As a sign of respect, he fell at Peter's feet. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I'm only a man myself." Talking with Cornelius, Peter went inside. There he found a large group of people. He said to them, "You know that it is against our law for a Jew to have anything to do with those who are not Jews. But God has shown me that I should not say anyone is not pure and clean. So when you sent for me, I came without asking any questions. May I ask, why did you send for me?" Cornelius answered, "4 days ago, at this very hour, I was in my house praying. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood in front of me. He said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer. He has remembered your gifts to poor people. Send someone to Joppa to get Simon Peter. He's a guest at a home of another Simon who works with leather and lives by the sea. So, I sent for you right away. It is good of you to come. Now we are all here, and God is here with us. We are ready to listen to everything the Lord has commanded for you to tell us. That's the end of our scripture reading for today. So, Peter's vision, point number one. What can we learn from Cornelius? What does the Bible tell us? What do you remember about him from our earlier lessons? Why do you think God picked him? When God opened the door for the Gentiles, he selected one man, Cornelius, and started with him. This is consistent with God's plan down through the ages. One man's sin, Adam, Abraham, the start of God's family. Through Jesus, his son, God would offer redemption to the world. One man, Adam, one man, Abraham, one man, Jesus. But God's strategy is so profound in its simplicity that we often miss it. Peter is the one man God chose to introduce himself to these Gentiles. Cornelius was the one man that spread it all to us. Just like I today see one man that I call Batman that spread all of this virus to us. So Jesus is always going to be our best example of a human living a life God approved of. I would challenge you to look at Cornelius as the best example of a Gentile. So Jesus is always the best example. God approved of his perfect life. But I challenge you, when you think about Gentiles, that Cornelius probably is going to be the best Gentile there is. Maybe Timothy, but I'd call Cornelius the best example. So A, on my outline, I said Cornelius was a Roman officer. That's one of the things I learned about him. A Roman officer would understand authority. Another centurion said to Jesus, I am a man under authority. I have men under my authority. Jesus looked at that Roman officer and said, I have never seen any more faith than he understands in all of my life. To a Roman soldier, obedience would be as commonplace as breathing. To Romans, believing the orders you are given should be acted on immediately in obedience would be common. And in that army, if you disobeyed an order, it probably meant you would die. I've noticed God is big on authority. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that God is also very big on obedience? Could you and I be more like Cornelius was? What would you need to change to be more like Cornelius in understanding authority and in a life that modeled obedience? We in the USA do not seem to understand authority very well these days. My testimony is, I grew up in the 60s and many of us were very rebellious to the authorities. A lot of my friends went to college just to riot and burn the campus. March 23rd of 1970, President Richard Milhouse Nixon drafted me into the U.S. Army. I did not agree with what Mr. Johnson and Mr. Nixon were doing in the Republic of Vietnam. I have put on several resumes for employment that my secondary schools of higher education were the United States Army. where I study and learn authority and submission. That's what I learned in the military. How to function in the chain of command, what they call authority, and how to be submissive to the authorities above me, to act in immediate response of obedience to the orders given. If one does not do that, people die. I was in a struggle for me to respect Mr. Nixon. What I learned and applied to my life was to respect the office of the president. It doesn't matter who the person is that's in the office. It's the office that demands respect. It's the same way if you have a lieutenant. It's not that you respect the individual. You respect his commission, or your captain, or your colonel, or your general. You respect the office and function from that premise to work in authority correctly. Today, it would be really good for our nation if our press and the people respected the office of the president instead of all of the belittling and criticizing and second guessing. If they respected the president like our nation did in World War II or in World War I, it would be a very different war we're fighting against this invisible enemy. Many of us in the USA today do not seem to understand obedience. Many of us practice what I would call selected obedience. This is where I can change. One of the positive things of the social distancing and the self-quarantining is when I drove out to church here today, I never went over 55 miles an hour, which many people would understand is not normal for me on a normal old day. I always seem to be in a hurry to get someplace and would go faster than the posted speed limit. But when it's my only weekly drive is to come out here and record this message, I find myself only going 40 miles an hour in a 55 miles an hour zone. I'm in no big hurry anymore. So this virus has helped me in my selective obedience. Be on my outline, I wrote down, Cornelius was a good man who worships God. So Cornelius was a good man who worshiped God. And what I underlined was good man and worship God. There are good men who do not worship the one true God and his only son, Jesus. There are good people out there in the midst of this mess that will give money, give food, and help people that do not worship Jesus Christ. Cornelius was a man whose life's pattern was one of worshiping God, praying, and generosity. I can see why God liked this man. If I read you the New American Standard Bible translation of Acts 10:22, it says, they said Cornelius was a centurion, meaning he had 100 men under him. He was righteous and a God-fearing man. The reason I put that one in there is I like the idea of a God-fearing man. Could you and I be more like Cornelius? More worshiping of God? More prayer and intense prayer? More generosity and more God-fearing? I like to translate the God-fearing as a healthy respect. But God-fearing. See, on my outline, I wrote down that all the Jewish people respected him. All the Jewish people respected him. So I underlined Jewish and respect. At first glance, that doesn't seem to be too odd or unusual. But the truth was, Jews hated Romans. They hated them. The orders from the Jewish leaders were strict social distancing. And it was on an epic proportion. One could be publicly stoned for social contact with Gentiles. What Peter did in our text today, inviting Gentiles into the house and going into the house of the Gentiles, could cause him to be publicly stoned to death. That's severe social distancing. A holy angel told Cornelius to invite Peter to his house. So Cornelius was expecting him, and he had called together his relatives and close friends. And this is what I would call the first Gentile home small group of the new church. This is the first home small group. D on my outline, I wrote down, Cornelius wants to hear what you have to say. Cornelius wants to hear what you have to say. And I wrote down here. The Bible said, we are ready to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Think about that. That's the audience that any preacher boy would love to have and looks for all his life. When they come and say, we're ready to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us today. When Cornelius met Peter, as a sign of respect, he fell at Peter's feet. Can you picture this in your mind? A Roman soldier in his armor, chest plate, knee shin guards, arm guards, sword at his side, falls to his knees in front of Peter. That was unheard of in that time. Cornelius was a humble man and a respectful man. I call that E on my outline. E on my outline. Cornelius was a humble, respectful man. So the two words I underlined was humble and respectful. So think about it. A warrior with a humble heart. A man who is fearless in combat, hand-to-hand combat, and yet has a humble heart. We could be more like Cornelius in this attitude. More respect of others, more prayer for others, and generosity. Cornelius said to Peter, now we are all here. God is here with us. Is this true of us in the COVID-19 historic event? We are now all here in this mess, and God is here with us. See, most times I see people, we are here and we are in this COVID-19 disaster. But few have the attitude of Cornelius that God is here with us. What can we learn from Cornelius of a life that God honors? I would challenge you to look at Cornelius as the best Gentile example in the Bible. We looked into Cornelius's life and tried to figure out what we can learn from Cornelius. Now let's look into Peter's life. What can we learn from Peter? Peter has practiced social distancing his whole life. He would not have a problem with the social distancing our government's asking for. The Jews saw the Gentiles as unclean. They often referred to Gentiles as dogs. Now, in order to get the clear picture, this is dogs in Honduras, not dogs in the U.S. Dogs in the U.S. have it better than most humans on the planet. But when you're in Honduras, there are always these mangy, flea-ridden, skin and bones, starving, mangy dogs everywhere. That's the kind of dogs the Jews thought the Romans were. A Jew was forbidden by law to enter a Gentile's home. It was a criminal deadly offense to cross the door plane of a Gentile's home. The Jews believed that God had chosen them and rejected everyone else. Pride. They had missed God's great purpose for them and forgotten the clear teaching of Scripture. See, God singled out the family line from Eve to Abraham and from Abraham down to the Virgin Mary to provide a bloodline for Jesus. But God's heart has always been for his creation to be re-related to him. Re-related like in the Garden of Eden. So A on my outline, the new Peter invited the man into his home, well, actually somebody else's house, to be his guest. The new Peter invited the man into the house to be his guest, and I underline new. The next day, Peter went with the three men. Peter had started his new normal this day. Some of the believers from Joppa went along. Why? Who were these people? Be on your outline. Peter, like Jesus, had disciples who followed him around. Peter, like Jesus, had disciples, is what I underlined, who followed him around. As Peter was making changes in his life, he was also making disciples, just like Jesus did. Cornelius had sent for him. And Peter said, "So when you sent for me, I came without asking any questions." That's different from the Peter that just last week had told the Holy Spirit, "No, no way." Now Peter, the new Peter, is going without asking any questions. And he asked Cornelius, "Why have you sent for me?" So C on your outline is Peter is learning to trust the Holy Spirit more than the law. Peter is learning to trust the Holy Spirit more than the law. So he's learning trust, not in the law or tradition, but in the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean for us? Well, he or we rely more on the Holy Spirit than what our mind has or we have learned or the ideas we have had in the past. Peter said to them, "You know that it's against our law for a Jew to have anything to do with those who aren't Jews." So Peter is living out a new normal just like you and I are living out a new normal. Peter has the Holy Spirit. People who come in contact with him or the things he has touched are changed and affected. That's the same as COVID. If you come in contact with somebody who has the COVID-19 virus or you touch a hard surface that they have touched, you'll get it. Just like people who come in contact with Peter will be infected with the Holy Spirit. That's my illustration. Peter said, "God has shown me that I should not say anyone is not pure or clean." So D on your outline, Peter's new normal was to stop judging people. Peter's new normal was to stop judging, is what I underline, people. Isn't this where Adam and Eve got off the path of walking with God? Adam and Eve started playing God and deciding what or who was right, wrong, good, or evil. Does it look to you like God in his Holy Spirit is starting up right where they went off script of God's grand drama in the Garden of Eden? Adam and Eve went off the script. So God provided a way for them to be re-related. So now he's starting up right where they stepped off the script, off the path, in revealing his God, grand drama for us. So what can we learn from Peter? Peter is a good example of one who is willing to change his normal life into a new normal. All of us are changing our life into a new normal. So we talked about Cornelius, we talked about Peter, what we could learn from them. Last, we need to talk about what we can learn from the Holy Spirit. When Jesus formed Adam, he breathed into him the breath of life and all humanity started. COVID-19 virus from Batman attacks this breath of life in humanity. Today, the pandemic spread of COVID-19 virus is an event that is unprecedented in its worldwide scale, and it all started with Batman. That is now our new normal. So step back with me into the days of Peter and Cornelius. They were about to start a pandemic spread of a worldwide scale event that is unprecedented in history, the spread of Christianity. The Holy Spirit inside Peter, and next week when we see in Cornelius, changed the course of history. Batman, with his COVID-19 inside, changed the course of history. Some of us have the Holy Spirit inside us. The odds are some of us have COVID-19 virus inside us. I read a story in a good book this week about a man who lived in a country whose attitude about God and their moral values had changed. These people worshiped their gods in any way they thought was good and fun. Sex was out in the open air. You could do it with anyone, any way, anywhere. And all values of how God designed the act of sex were considered outdated. Newborn babies were murdered, sacrificed to gods of convenience, and my life being better and easier and more prosperous. Respect for the government and its leader was considered optional in this nation at this time. The people in this nation were very prosperous, and they lived a life of affluence and excess. In the midst of this mess, God asked just one man to speak the truth, to warn the people. God again asked this one man to speak the truth, to remind the people he loved them so much. See if you can guess his name. A message came to me from the Lord. He said, "Announce my message to the people. I want everyone to hear it. Tell them, I remember how faithful you were to me when you were young. You love me as if you were my bride." The Lord says, "What did you people find wrong with me? Why did you wander so far away from me? My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Have you not brought this on yourselves by forsaking the Lord your God when he led you in the way? Your wickedness will punish you. Your backsliding will rebuke you. Consider then and realize how evil and bitter it is for you when you forsake the Lord your God and have no awe of him," the Lord declares. The Almighty Lord declares this. "Announce this message to the people. Tell them, you have not been faithful," announces the Lord. "Return to me, then I will look on you with favor again. My love is faithful," announces the Lord. "I will not be angry with you forever. Admit you are guilty of doing what is wrong. You have refused to obey me. I am the Lord your God. You have committed adultery with other gods. You have not obeyed me," announced the Lord. "You people have not been faithful," announced the Lord. "Return to me. I am your husband." A cry is heard. The people are sobbing and praying. That's because their lives are so twisted. They've forgotten the Lord their God. "You have not been faithful," said the Lord. "Return to me. I will heal you. I will heal you. Then you will not turn away from me anymore." "Yes," the people say, we will come to you. You are the Lord our God. Jeremiah was the one who wrote those words. He heard the voice of the Holy Spirit saying them, and he wrote them down. They seem to fit our today. Sadly, the people in Jeremiah's day did not listen to him, and disaster and calamity came upon them. How will we respond? Will we respond like Cornelius and his friends in Acts 10:33? Now we are all here, and God is here with us. We are ready to listen to everything the Lord has commanded for us. The end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your loving kindness. We come as individuals and a nation confessing. In many ways, we have turned our backs on you, forsaken you, and our nation has slipped so far. The world we live in has slipped so far. Father, all we can do as individuals is turn to you in repentance of our individual lives. And after being honest with you, humbly seeking your mercy on the mess we're in, we ask it because Jesus made it possible, and in love with him we pray. Amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord.
Thousand years and then 4